Occupational health programs. Healthcare institutions are duty-bound to protect the health and safety of their employees. HCP may be exposed to a wide variety of hazards, including exposure to physical, biological, and chemical agents, stress, and injury. In addition to the ethical and operational reasons for protecting the health of HCP and other employees in medical facilities, most countries require employers to provide reasonably safe working conditions for their employees. This often requires employees to be warned of unsafe conditions that they might not discover otherwise. To ensure safe working conditions, employers may be held accountable for providing a place of employment free of recognized hazards that may cause, or are likely to cause, death or serious physical harm to employees. Employers may also be subject to workplace investigations, records reviews, and medical examinations, among other things, to prove that the conditions provided to employees satisfy government regulations and accreditation standards. To that end, occupational health is a discipline dedicated to the well-being and safety of employees in the workplace. This includes the provision of clinical services for work-related injuries, exposures, and illnesses. An occupational health program, OHP, is an essential and necessary component of providing a safe environment for patients and HCP. In smaller healthcare settings, it is not uncommon for the IP to be responsible for the OHP. Elements of an OHP include leadership and management, communication, collaboration, assessment, and reduction of risks for HCP, medical evaluations, occupational IPC education and training, HCP treatment, immunization programs, testing protocols, management of potentially infectious exposures and response, management of HCP health records. Within healthcare facilities, transmission of infection to and from HCP is a recognized risk. When not directly responsible for the OHP, the IP still must work collaboratively with the occupational health provider to implement pre-exposure vaccination programs, particularly those that are required annually, post-exposure intervention responses, and other program activities to prevent exposure to infectious diseases. Because there are several common infectious processes with no indications for post-exposure intervention, the OHP must be structured so that HCP and patients are actively protected. Some examples of common requirements or programs associated with OHPs are organizational policies, procedures, and performance measurements. These must be developed so that the risk of exposure is limited for patients, visitors, and HCP. Work restrictions related to communicable diseases. Policies should specify criteria for work restrictions, including methods of communicating about them, how they are managed, and how HCP are cleared to return to work. Workers' compensation programs. The IP may or may not be responsible for managing these programs, but they should be familiar with workers' compensation laws and their application in the OHP. The Healthcare Organizations Administration, medical staff, and other HCP should support the elements of IPC for the OHP. Key support is commonly secured by educating HCP about the principles of IPC and their individual responsibilities related thereto, collaborating with the IPC department in monitoring and investigating potentially harmful infectious disease exposures and outbreaks, providing care and follow-up to HCP for work-related illnesses, injuries, and exposures, keeping HCP information confidential, identifying work-related infection risks and adding appropriate preventive measures, containing costs by preventing infectious diseases that result in absenteeism and disability. Key point, the healthcare worker's risk of exposure to emerging pathogens is real. The role of the IP as a resource educator, advisor, and consultant is vital to the well-being and safety of HCP, patients, and the community. In situations where the organizational structure does not formally include the IP as a member of the OHP, the IP will still likely be responsible for addressing HCP exposure incidents and may be asked to provide guidance and references in support of OHP policies and procedures. Explicit communication and collaboration between the IP and occupational health leaders can improve HCP safety and the delivery of occupational IPC services. No matter what form the relationship between the OHP and an IP takes, counseling and communication are necessary to provide HCP with targeted information on the risk for and prevention of exposure to communicable diseases and pathogens in the workplace. HCP will need direction, guidance, and reassurance related to exposure events, including potential risks for acquiring an infection and the benefits and risks associated with post-exposure prophylaxis regimens. HCP should be educated on how to report known and potential exposures to communicable infectious diseases to their supervisors, OHP, and the IP. HCP sick policies and presenteeism. HCP sick policies should be written and enforced in a way that encourages staff to self-monitor and report infectious illnesses. Employees must be encouraged to report symptoms of an infection, such as fever, diarrhea, cough, sore throat, or skin lesion to the IP or employee health nurse. The Human Resources Department and OHP must coordinate their efforts to determine the best way to learn about why employees call in sick and then use that information to craft or adjust the healthcare facility's sick time policy. HCP are less likely to report illnesses when their absence affects them financially. When employees are penalized for sick time use, presenteeism, or coming to work when ill may result. This is an ongoing problem in healthcare and may also arise from staffing capacity issues. To help reduce instances of presenteeism, the IP should review the healthcare facility's sick time policy to ensure that employees are not penalized for using sick time when necessary. Policies related to refusal to work or over-precautions. In many places, an employee may lawfully refuse to work in unsafe conditions or may insist on wearing additional safety equipment beyond what is required by the workplace. Generally speaking, employees are not permitted to leave the job because of potentially unsafe working conditions. Instead, employees must inform their employer of the unsafe conditions or request an inspection of the workplace. If confronted with a real danger of serious injury or death, an employee may refuse in good faith to work until the employer rectifies the situation. To protect employees, the employer uses the reasonableness standard to remove hazards that a reasonable person would believe presents a real danger of death or serious injury. The source of danger is of an urgent nature. When an employee insists on wearing more personal protective equipment, PPE, than the healthcare provider believes necessary for preventing disease transmission, the employer must investigate the employee's rationale for wanting additional PPE and educate employees regarding appropriate IPC techniques. If, after this, the employee insists on following procedures contrary to the recommended approach, legal advice should be sought regarding applicable laws on the subject. Some laws forbid discrimination against an employee for complaining about health hazards, even when there is no actual danger, as long as the employee has a reasonable belief that a danger exists.